I picked my way through the dwindling crowd in the bazaar, but there was no sign of Hassan. I described him to an old merchant. He eyed me up and down.
What's a boy like you doing looking for a Hazara?
I controlled my impatience. He's our servant's son. The man rested an arm on his mule's back and pointed south.
I think I saw him running that way. He had a blue kite in his hand.
For you, 1,000 times over, he'd promised. Good old Hassan, he'd run the last kite for me.
Of course, they probably caught him by now.
Who?
The other boys who were chasing him.
For the next few minutes, I poked my head behind every stall. I'd reached a secluded muddy road when I heard voices up ahead coming from one of the alleys. I crept closer and peeked round the corner. Hassan was standing defiantly at the end, fist curled, legs slightly apart. Behind him, on a pile of rubble, was the blue kite. My key to Baba's heart. Blocking Hassan's way were three boys, the same three that had threatened us the day Hassan had saved us with his slingshot. Hasif was twirling his familiar brass knuckles. The other two shifted nervously on their feet.
Where's your slingshot, Hazara?
Hasif sneered. I exhaled slowly, quietly. I felt paralyzed. I watched them close in on the boy I'd grown up with, the boy whose hair-lit face had been my first memory.
But today's your lucky day, Hazara, Hasif said. I'm in a mood to forgive. What do you say to that, boys?
That's generous,
one of them blurted. He was trying to sound like Hasif, except there was a tremor in his voice. Then I understood. He wasn't afraid of Hassan, he was afraid because he had no idea what Hasif had in mind. Hasif waved his hand.
Of course, nothing is free in this world, and my pardon comes with a small price. It's going to cost you that blue kite.
Even from where I was standing, I could see the fear in Hassan's eyes. But he shook his head.
Amir won the tournament fair and square, and I ran this kite for him. This is his kite.
A loyal Hazara. Loyal as a dog, Hasif sneered.
But before you sacrifice yourself for him, think. Would he do the same for you? Have you ever wondered why he never includes you in games when he has guests?
I tell you why, Hazara.
Because to him, you're nothing but an ugly pet. Something to play with when he is bored or kick when he is angry. Don't ever fool yourself you're something more.
Amir Aha and I are friends, Hassan said.
Hasif laughed.
You pathetic fool. Now, just give us that kite.
Hassan stooped and picked up a rock.
Whatever you wish.
Hasif unbuttoned his coat. I opened my mouth, almost said something. Almost. The rest of my life might have turned out differently, if I had. But I didn't. I just watched. Hasif motioned to the other two.
I've changed my mind. I'd let you keep the kite. So it will always remind you of what I'm about to do.
Then he charged, knocking Hassan to the ground. The other two followed. I closed my eyes. But when I opened them again, there were two things I couldn't stop looking at. One was the blue kite. The other was Hassan's pants, thrown on a heap of eroded bricks.
All I want you weaklings to do is to hold him down.
Hasif unzipped his jeans. Hassan didn't struggle, didn't even whimper. He moved his head slightly, and I caught a glimpse of his face, saw the resignation in it. It was the look of the lamb. I stopped watching, turned away from the alley. I realized I was weeping.
I had one final opportunity to decide who I was going to be. I could step into that alley, stand up for Hassan the way he'd stood up for me, or I could run. In the end, I ran. Back in the bazaar, I hid behind a stall. 15 minutes later, I heard voices and watched Asif and the other two sprinting by, laughing. I forced myself to wait 10 more minutes. Then I walked back towards the alley. Hassan was walking slowly towards me. He had the blue kite in his hands. That was the first thing I saw. His shirt was ripped. He was swaying on his feet as if he was going to collapse. Then he steadied himself, handed me the kite.
"Where were you?"
I said.
I've been looking for you."
He dragged his sleeve across his face. I waited for him to say something, but we just stood there in silence. I was grateful for the early evening shadows that fell on his face and concealed mine. I was glad I didn't have to return his gaze. Did he know I knew? And if he knew, then what would I see if I did look in his eyes? Blame? Indignation? Or what I feared most, guileless devotion? It happened just the way I'd imagined. I opened the door to the study. Baba and Rahim Khan turned their heads and a smile played on my father's lips. I put the kite down, walked into his open arms, buried my face in the warmth of his chest and wept. Baba held me close, rocking me back and forth. In his arms, I forgot what I had done. And that was good. For a week, I barely saw Hassan. I woke to find breakfast already on the kitchen table, my clothes ironed. Hassan used to wait for me before he started ironing so we could talk. Now, only the folded clothes greeted me, and a breakfast I hardly ate.
"Lately, all he seemed to want to do is sleep," said Ali. "After the kite tournament, he come home a little bloody. Did something happen to him, Amir?"
I shrugged.
"How should I know? Maybe he's sick."
Baba and I were finally friends. We'd gone to the zoo and then the kebab house, and Baba had told me stories of his travels to India and Russia. That should have been fun. I finally had what I wanted all those years. Except now that I had it, I felt empty. That night in my room, a wedge of moonlight streamed in through the window. "I watched Hassan get raped," I said aloud. A part of me was hoping someone would hear, so I wouldn't have to live with this lie anymore. But in the silence that followed, I understood the nature of my new curse. I was going to get away with it. My memory of the rest of the winter is pretty hazy. I was fairly happy when Baba was home. But when he was out, I closed myself in my room and I read. To my dismay, Hassan kept trying to rekindle things between us. One day he knocked on my door.
"What is it?"
"I'm going to the baker," he said from the other side. "I wondered if you want to come along."
I think I'll just read,"
I said, rubbing my temples. Lately, every time Hassan was around, I was getting a headache.
"It's a sunny day."
"I can see that.
Might be fun to go for a walk." "You go."
Something thumped against the door, maybe his forehead.
"I don't know what I have done, Amir Aha. I wish you'd tell me."
"You haven't done anything, Hassan. Just go."
"You can tell me. I stopped doing it,"
I snapped.
"I'd want you to stop harassing me. I want you to go away."
I wished he'd break the door open and tell me off. It would have made things easier, but he didn't. When I opened the door a minute later, he wasn't there. I fell on my bed, buried my head under the pillow and cried. Hassan milled about the periphery of my life after that.
But even when he wasn't around, he was. He was there in the warm slippers left outside my door, in the wood already burning in the stove when I came down for breakfast. Everywhere I turned, I saw signs of his loyalty, his goddamn unwavering loyalty. Early in the spring, a few days before the new school year started, Baba and I were planting tulips in the garden when I came right out and said it.
Baba, have you ever thought about getting new servants?
He buried his trowel in the dirt.
What did you say?
I was just wondering, that's all.
Why would I ever want to do that?
It was just a question.
I was already sorry I'd spoken.
Is this about you and Hassan? I know there is something going on between you, but whatever it is, you have to deal with it.
He picked up his trowel.
I grew up with Ali. My father took him in. He loved Ali like his own son. 40 years Ali's been with my family and you think I'm just going to throw him out?
He shook his head.
You bring me shame, Amir. Hassan's not going anywhere, do you understand?
I picked up a fistful of soil and let it pour between my fingers.
I said, do you understand? Hassan stays right here with us, where he belongs. This is his home, and we're his family. Don't you ever ask me that question again.
One sluggish, hazy afternoon early that summer, I asked Hassan to go up the hill with me. Told him I wanted to read him a new story I'd written. He was hanging clothes to dry, and I saw his eagerness in the hurried way he finished the job. We climbed the hill, making small talk, and at the top, we sat under the shade of our pomegranate tree. I put the story on the ground, then picked up an overripe pomegranate and stood up.
What would you do if I hit you with this?
Hassan's smile wilted. Next to him, the pages of the story I'd promised to read fluttered in the breeze. I hurled a pomegranate at him. It struck him in the chest, exploding in a spray of red pulp. Hassan's cry was pregnant with surprise and pain.
Hit me back!
I snapped. Hassan looked from the stain on his chest to me.
Get up! Hit me!
Hassan did get up, but he just stood there, looking dazed. I hit him with another pomegranate, on the shoulder this time.
Hit me back!
I wanted him to give me the punishment I craved, so maybe I'd finally sleep at night. Maybe then, things could return to how they used to be between us. But Hassan did nothing as I pelted him again and again. I don't know how many times I hit him. All I know is that when I finally stopped, exhausted and panting, Hassan did pick up a pomegranate. He walked towards me, opened it, and crushed it on his own forehead.
There,
he croaked.
Are you satisfied?
Then he turned and started down the hill.